Well, Ulysses, if we've learned anything about baseball, that of course you can't win every game, and you can't win every series either, despite the amazing run that the Rays are currently on.
Yes, you can't win every game. I know that sounds kind of pedantic, but it's true. So let's talk about it right now.
You are Locked On Rays, your daily Tampa Bay Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, my name is Kevin Weiss.
I'm Ulysses Zambrano.
And we are the host of the Locked On Rays podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us your very first listen every day. Be sure to check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel at Locked On Rays, as well as all the other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Rays and email us anytime, lockedonrays@gmail.com. All right, the Tampa Bay Rays lose to the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 2-1. The Rays fall to 29-9 on the year, while the Orioles improve to 24-13 on the year. The Rays losing just their third series of the 2023 series. Moreover, it was one of the very rare times this season where the offense didn't help out the pitching staff.
Yes. This is a really good team, the Baltimore Orioles. So I want that to be known. Like, this is a good team.
And this isn't Orioles from, 2016 to 2021.
Exactly. Like, this is a good team, and they're going to be good for a long, long time. Look, Dean Kramer had a mixed 2023, but his last two outings against really good teams, the Atlanta Braves and now the Tampa Bay Rays, he's shown up. And that's one of the things that if you look at this Orioles team, you can pinpoint as a weakness. They're pitching, right? Just like you can point at the Rays bullpen as the flaw. That doesn't mean that it's a bad team just because it has a flaw. They can be really good, and they are. And they had timely hits. The Rays did not. They had their opportunities. You look at the summation of these three games, and when you have 1-for-22 with men in scoring position, and that one hit was Wander Franco getting that single to get the RBI for Yandy when he was in second.
Yeah, he hit the ball up the middle, I believe, on a hanging breaking ball.
1-for-22, man. 1-for-22, like, that's not going to get it done, especially against a really good team.
As Wander Franco is, it takes more than him to drive in runs. He can't drive in every run. He can't steal every bag. He can't be the only guy that's drawing walks and getting on base and making things happen. There's 8 other guys in the order that have to contribute one way or the other.
But sometimes you're going to get a series like this where you are going to have your opportunities, but you're not going to come through. I'm not in the least worried. I don't know. And you can psychoanalyze me with my reasoning here. I don't think I'm upset because of two things. Number one, the Rays run has been incredible.
They're 29-9. Like, they could afford a 10-game losing streak and still be in a good spot.
Which, by the way, I hope that doesn't happen. So knock on wood that doesn't happen. So that's factor number one. They've been so good that, like, a loss doesn't hit me as a loss would, before. And number two, I don't have that rivalry developed against the Baltimore Orioles yet. I don't. I actually am, again, objectively speaking, I like that the Baltimore Orioles are good. I know. Yeah. And as
they're the little brother that's finally hitting puberty, and they might start fighting with you a little bit.
But you enjoy it. You enjoy the back and forth. So, like, the rivalry isn't so
it's budding. Intense. It's not there yet. It's,
exactly.
You've just planted the seeds, if you will. It's not, I don't know if it'll ever get to the point of Yankees and Red Sox versus Rays.
Sure.
And they still have some work to do to catch up to Rays versus Blue Jays. Things have to happen. And this is maybe the start of it.
And that's good. I think that's good for baseball. More rivalries, it's more fun for fans. So, yeah, I think those are my two factors why, it sucks to lose the series, but I'm not that upset by it. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, quite frankly, yes, the offense failed to produce, but I can look at it another way and say you had Jalen Beeks and Yanni Chirinos and Javi Guerra roll out against a strong Orioles lineup and roster, and they only gave up 2 runs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other way to flip around on it. Which again, I mean, I think one of the game-changing aspects of this game is Yanni Chirinos being called for a clock violation as he was releasing the ball. I looked at the replay. It looked like he did run out of time. So I understand that the rules have to be enforced. I didn't see behind home plate a pitch clock or a timer. Mm. It'd be nice to have that going forward in the future for all pitchers to kind of see how much time do I have? 3 seconds, 5 seconds, 4 seconds, whatever it may be. But that, hey, we've been itching for something like this, a mechanism to speed the game along, and you got to enforce those rules. So I understand it, and this can be hopefully a learning lesson for Yanni Chirinos and the rest of the pitching staff and the rest of baseball. But that more or less allowed for bases loaded, no outs, and that's usually going to create a problem, whether your name is Yanni Chirinos or Justin Verlander.
Yeah, no, and about the clock positioning, I'm sure that there is a clock for the pitchers to look at, but maybe it's not on the TV broadcast. They cut it off. But yeah, he was late by a beat, man. Just a single beat, which sucks. If you draw the line of like hit zero, you have to start your motion. Yeah, he was a little bit late on that. But by the way, talking about Yanni Chirinos, I don't think we've given him the spotlight. I think that he deserves. I mean, he has a very, very tough gig here to step up in the starting rotation. They slowed him in. You know, they eased him into just, hey, can you get these 3 innings? Can you get these 3 1/3? Maybe you get a 4 here, 4 2/3. Hey, you get a start against the Yankees. Oh, hey, now you get a bulk with against the Orioles. Like, It's been really cool to see how they've treated him. I really like the results. If I can be nitpicky, which of course you know that I am, the last 2 outings with 4 walks each is kind of troubling. He hasn't gotten hurt by them, you know. So that's good. But hopefully that is not a trend that keeps going up. I mean, right now his whip is at 0.99, which is perfect. That's right. Awesome. So let's hope that that's just a couple outliers, but I think he's done terrific.
I agree. And I have a couple more points on that, but Ulysses, first we have to tell the audience about something extremely, extremely important.
Yes. Yes, we do. And you all know that you can have fun when you go outside and you buy tickets to events. Well, you know, that doesn't have to be a stressful thing. And with Game Time, well, guess what? That is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun that you will have. And Game Time is the fastest growing ticket app in the country for a reason. You can get images of your seats before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. You don't know if you're going to be behind the foul pole. Hey, guess what? Game Time can show you that. And when you buy the tickets, you get them in 2 taps and it's directly on your phone. You don't have to dig through your email. So today, get those tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Kevin, would you say no to $20 off?
I would love $20 off in anything and everything in this economy. Come on.
Exactly. So you know that Kevin's in it, so you know that you're going to get it. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Yeah, again, real credit to Yanni Chirinos for this was a guy that didn't make the team out of spring training. So to get the opportunity, find his footing, settle in, and something tells me he's going to continue to get opportunities and be deployed like this because, if we're on the bad news train, Tyler Glasnow exited his rehab start in Durham after, 10, 11 pitches when he was expected to throw
Four times that, five times that, six times that.
I don't think he was expected just to throw 10 or 11 pitches. So he exited with what is being described as, quote, a very mild tightness in his lower body. But considering his history and considering the injury issues of pitchers in general, no bueno there. So Yanni Chirinos, something tells me that the Rays are going to lean on him to, hey, whether it's as a traditional starter or coming in as an opener, whatever it may be, we're going to need you to get 4, 5, 6 innings at a clip if you can do that. And, you know, in addition to, for the most part, doing his job yesterday, again, he's also worked around jams. He got out of a two-out situation in that game as well. And this this Orioles team, I don't know if, you know, we have to give these pitchers credit for what they're doing. It's one thing to do this against the Athletics or the Nationals or the Marlins, but this is against the Orioles on the road. Not an easy thing to do. Now, Camden Yards is different dimension Camden Yards than previous years, where you basically have to be Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds on roids to hit a home run in that ballpark. But I think my point stands there.
You know, I think I want to take this to the Tyler Glasnow situation.
Uh-oh.
Look, disappointing 100%, 100%. Cause now you are like, okay, it's mid May. That's when the Topkin line has been mid to late May. It's coming. Four innings in Durham makes you dream. Okay.
Mid May is officially in 4 days.
Mid May is in 4 days and that ain't happening already. So we're now looking at late May at the earliest. So are you concerned? I'm dancing. We don't know yet.
This is Tyler Glasnow. He's always hurt.
We don't know
yet. He's the Kevin Kiermaier of pitchers.
So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you said left side tightness, and that might sound extremely mild to fans. Wouldn't it be kind of cool? And hear me out here, because I know that this is off the wall, but you know what? It's 7 a.m, people. So just give me a break here. But what if one day you're able to, I don't know, what he is feeling right now, this left side tightness, if you're a fan, you can like get an apparatus or whatever, a device that simulates exactly what that athlete is going through so that you can feel the pain of that said player. And so that you would create an understanding, an even deeper understanding between the fan and the player. Like, oh, I couldn't even get my cereal box. I'm expecting this guy to throw 98 right now. Okay, I get it. Hope Tyler's feeling better. You know, something like that. I'm just spitballing here.
I think there's one man to call for that, and that's Elon Musk. Elon, get on it. You've been deployed. Do your job here. In addition to that, I would like an apparatus that allows me to throw 99 at the top of the zone in a nasty 12-6 breaker.
Would be better. Would be a better apparatus because that would be nice. Apparatus would.
I would like an apparatus that transforms me into Wander Franco and Tyler Glasnow. Which, by the way, I know we joked about it. You know, Wander Franco can't do it alone in games like this. And I made a comment, I think it was on Monday's or Tuesday's episode earlier in this week, about Wander by 2025. He'll be the best player in baseball not named Shohei Ohtani. And you didn't scoff at that necessarily. Am I wrong there?
I didn't scoff. I think it's a possibility. I think it's very difficult.
Okay.
I wouldn't even put Vladdy as a competition. I'm sorry. Maybe that's why the Toronto Rays rivalry is way more alive than the Baltimore, because I'm like, Vladdy, nah, get him out of there. Because I don't think he's as complete player as Wander. Like, I need the glove. I need the speed. You know, I need all of the things. Like, you can't just be a slugger and be like, oh, okay, well, he hits more bombs. You know, like,
So what the nearest competition or the guys for that throne besides Shohei would be?
You're looking
Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, Nolan Arenado, Jose Ramirez, who I think still is underrated by some folks.
I think Soto,
Bryce Harper, guys of that ilk, I assume.
Exactly. Yeah, I would throw in there a Ronald Acuna, and because he has that Franco power speed combination. I mean, Ronald Acuna could be a 40-40 guy this year. Like, it's dumb.
Right.
So you have to. I would have had him, and I would add Tatis. I know the whole steroid performance enhancing drug ringworm debacle has soured his name to baseball fans, and that's completely understandable. But I still think he's talented, and I think he can do that. So yeah, there's like a group of like a good 10 names where Wander is right there in the mix. I think he'll definitely put himself in the mix.
Yeah,
for 2025 there.
And maybe I'll flip it or add, because it is very objective and up to each person's opinion as to who the next best player in baseball would be, but besides Shohei. But maybe just a little twist on it is, I legitimately think Wander will have the second highest WAR for a position player, I guess any player, besides Shohei Ohtani leading into the 2025 season.
You can measure that
place and everything he does. Yeah,
you can measure that. That's good. Like, you can just be like, oh, he's just going to be the best. No. In that category, F4 in 2025, he'll be only behind Shohei Ohtani. I can see that happening. Of course. Yeah.
And I mean, if you look it up even now as to which players are the most valuable in terms of trades, I think it's Shohei and Wander.
Yeah. And I was going to go the other route, like position player WAR right now.
Oh, that as well.
He's second only behind Sean Murphy.
Sean Murphy, what could have been for the Rays?
What could have been? The one that got away. Although the Rays
doing okay with Christian Bethencourt and...
actually, did you see that the report was that they wanted Tosh Bradley, I believe, and Kyle Manzardo for Sean Murphy? I think those are the two names. Guys, if I get that wrong, please correct me in the comments. It could, because I don't think it was Meade and Manzardo. I think it was Bradley and Manzardo.
I don't think I would do that deal.
I was in the Athletic. Yeah, I don't think I would do that either.
Manzardo is going to be a force, and not just because he was a guest on this show, which you should go back and listen to that interview too. So we have more to discuss, but first we have to tell you about our new sponsor called So Rare. So Rare is a revolutionary fantasy baseball game and marketplace transforming fans into owners with officially licensed digital cards featuring players from across all 30 MLB teams, including the Rays, Wander Franco on that list. Unlike other fantasy baseball platforms, So Rare managers truly own their fantasy experience, collecting, buying, selling, and competing with player cards against global opponents to win epic rewards. Win or lose, you still own your cards, and there is no cost to play. Plus, the more you win, the more you advance, collecting increasingly powerful cards and accessing next-level competitions and rewards. So head over to SoRare.com/LockedOn. That's SoRare.com to draft your team of free player cards, set your lineup, and start competing today to win epic rewards. Again, that is SoRare.com/LockedOn to start playing today. Adding on to the Wander Franco being one of the best players in baseball, or second best player in baseball by the time 2025 rolls around, the poll that we put forth on social media, 76% of the respondents agree, 24% of the respondents disagree. Some of the comments here, Chris says 1,000,000% agree. Another Chris says, love Wander, but the amount of years Trout has served and has a career OPS greater than one, he'd have to lose a leg for Wander to pass him in my eyes. Hewitt says possibly by October 2023, like that. Crab from Little Mermaid, great name on Twitter, says, I mean, he's second in AL MVP voting right now, so he definitely could be the top three AL players right now. And SoFlo Bull says could be this year. So people not only agreeing that by 2025, Wander will be that, but 2023.
I mean, some people are bullish here. They like that. Look, we're all fans, so of course, you know, I do think that people are saying 2023. Hold your horses just a little bit. Like, don't hate me, but just like hold your horses. I think that's very lofty. Like, very, very lofty.
Right.
But 2025, I can believe it. 2020, why not?
That's why I threw it out there. Give him a couple years to materialize. Let him get that walk rate up.
Yes. And, you know, 20, well, he'll be 24. So, yeah, maybe he grows into a little bit more of his body, the power. I mean, 24 years old, we could be seeing a Wander that hits 25, 30 bombs.
Yeah.
So now, and then now you're putting yourself in a discussion where if you're hitting yourself 25, 30 bombs and you're also stealing 25, 30 bags, well, you're
also playing gold glove level defense from the shortstop position, and you're also not striking out, and you're also a clutch player.
Yeah. One of the best
Hall of Famer much.
I mean, yeah, that's MVP, that.
Which is unbelievable. Like, we also need to, I know we harp on it, but the age. I'd like to see the percentage of what age players are when they make their MLB debut, whether it's position players or pitchers. Mm-hmm. And 24 is probably, I mean, about right.
Yeah.
And Wander's would already be
4 years in the league. Yeah.
Yeah. Insane.
It's insane.
So,
no, I think he definitely has the wherewithal and the capability to do so. Okay, my man, it's time to talk about it. Time to talk about it.
Yankees.
Bum, 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 bum. Is that what we're going to be playing instead of New York, New York? Because that would be lovely.
Yeah, I mean, they do have Darth Bader on the team.
Dude, what is up with Harrison Bader? Like, the pinstripes just gave him power now? Like, what the bleep, man?
Sometimes it does that.
God, it's, man. No, it's annoying. It's annoying what it is. He's becoming a younger, more annoying version. Well, not yet, but Brett Gardner-ish. Like, just a grinder. He's going to annoy you every single time.
He'll pester you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pester you.
But the Rays have like a whole stable of guys that pester the opposition. So if the Yankees have one guy, it's like they found that one guy that can kind of do a little bit of everything. Like, kudos. You found your guy.
Yeah.
The Yankees or the Rays going to New York, 4-game set versus the Yankees, who recently swept the Athletics, winning game 7-2, 10-5, 11-3, hitting home run after home run. Quick update here. Aaron Judge is back in the fold. Yep. The Yankees also recalled Davey Garcia. They will still be without Josh Donaldson. They will still be without Carlos Rodon, Jonathan Loaisiga. Giancarlo Stanton and others as well. So they've got a couple guys back, some guys not back yet. I'm going to say it right now. I know people harping on Brandon Lau being Mr. Slumpy. He'll find his footing in this series. Short porch time.
Short porch time.
He's going to hit. I'm calling it. He'll hit like 3 or 4 bombs in this 4-game series.
And again, I know people sometimes just look at the bleeping graphs and numbers. Sometimes it's just the way that you feel as a human being. This guy can definitely remember that he hit 3 bombs in 2021 to close out his season. Okay. He remembers that in Yankee Stadium. He knows this.
Yeah.
He knows this. So I feel like him being in a slump, going into a place where he knows that he has had success in the past, massive success, I think that just gives you a nice little bump in your mental health. Hopefully that's exactly what it does to Brandon. Short porch, that's a friend for lefties in New York. Hopefully you're right, and he gets off to a really good start, man. I am going to call it out right now at 7 in the morning on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I need two victories from this 4-game series, and it's a series win. Just give me two. Just give me two.
Split this
With Domingo Herman, I'm not too worried about him. He's kind of a mixed bag again. You can see him dominate, and then you can see him be out after 4 innings, allowing 3 runs. That happened last time. No, although I think it was 5 innings and 2 earned runs. But you can get him out of the game pretty quick. I know the bullpen for the Yankees has had success, they don't have that fear factor for me. I'm not worried about like I used to be before. You know, I know Michael King is like their guy. I'm not really scared about any of the other arms in that bullpen.
Has the fear factor gone away because they no longer have somebody that likes to deliberately throw at Rays players' heads?
Well, it's definitely a factor, Mr. Weiss. And you know, Chad Green was also kind of always like a pester in the bullpen too. I don't know the factor. I just don't feel like that's a lockdown. Oh man, they're up to their bullpen now. Now we definitely can't score. Like, I don't see it like that at all. And so hopefully that's how the Rays see it too, and they're able to put some runs on the board. I don't know, man. I feel like a series split is exactly what the doctor orders here, because you've got such a big cushion that you don't necessarily need to win all of the series in May. We've talked about this endlessly, right? May was going to be a really difficult month. Just get through it. And I know they swept the Pirates. Okay, they lost the series against the Orioles. They won against the Yankees. So right now, you are ahead of schedule. Get right to in the Bronx. I think that should be a victory.
I agree. You have Drew Rasmussen going up against Domingo Germán, TBD versus Gerrit Cole. Again, I don't expect being down by six against Gerrit Cole and doing that again. So you might want to get to him early and often if you can. Yeah. Shane McClanahan versus Nestor Cortez and Zach Eflin versus Clark Schmidt. So on paper, it looks like the Rays should manage 2-4.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I like the Sunday game. That's a good matchup. Zach Eflin.
Yeah.
I like that against Clark Schmidt. And the Saturday one, you say McClanahan Cortez.
Yes.
So we were not going to see lefties a lot there. So Brendan Lau is going to get to sit down on Saturday. So he should be doing his work against Domingo and Cole.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would be nice. Okay. All right. Let's see what happens there. All right. Thank you for making the Lockdown Rays podcast your very first listen every day. Every dayers, we'll have a Friday episode for you featuring Evan Klosky, and we might throw in a mailbag question or two for him. So
yeah,
if you want to have your voice heard, send us a voice memo to lockdownrays@gmail.com. Do it within the next like 12 hours.
Yeah, because we're recording a Thursday evening with Evan. He's awesome. You guys love him. We love him too. And there was a little bit of a power ranking situation across MLB, Locked On MLB hosts. And we might have to throw that out there for Evan Klosky to tell us what he thinks about these power rankings, you know?
Yeah. I have not looked closely at the rankings. All I know is that the Rays better and should and will be number one.
Let's talk about it with Evan.
Yes. All right. Thank you all for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.